Well, let's pray together as we come to God's word this morning. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that this morning we can open the Bible and we can hear you speak to us. Father, help us this morning, we pray, as we approach John's Gospel. Help us, Father, to study it, not as an interesting book or an historical curiosity, but help us to study it, knowing that this morning we can hear you speak to us. And may the Holy Spirit be speaking clearly and loudly to us this morning. Help us to see Jesus for who he really is, the Son of God who is busy about his Father's work today. And Father, help us to hear his words and believe them. And by believing them, have eternal life. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. It would be really good if you could turn with me back in your Bibles to John's Gospel and John chapter 5. And we're going to be looking especially at verses 16 to 30 of our passage this morning. Well, the world at the moment feels like it's gone a bit mad, doesn't it? I mean, if you'd have told me at the start of the year that we wouldn't be able to meet together as a church family for more than 3 months, I wouldn't believe you. If you'd have told me at the start of the year that you would find yourself panic buying flour in the shops as soon as you saw it, I wouldn't have believed you. If you told me at the beginning of this year that you would have to wear masks or gloves to go on the train, if you told me that you'd have to queue up to go into the shops, if you'd have told me that petrol was going to cost less than £1 per litre, I wouldn't have believed you. And it feels rather as if the world has gone mad, as if everything in life is on hold. As we're not able to see our loved ones, as we're not able to go to school or the workplace as we normally would. As the government tells us to stay at home, to stay safe. And it feels rather natural for us to ask, where is God in the middle of all this? How is God working today? Because although I'm here this morning, this church building is shut. Where normally we'd have dozens of people in here, we'd have children running around, we'd have a wonderful time of singing and hearing God speak to us in his word, and we'd have tea and coffee afterwards, and very often we'd have a bring and share lunch, and we'd have the Lord's Supper together. We're not able to do these things. We're not able to gather together in person. There's no causeway, there's no toddler group for the little ones. We're not meeting together in our homes for small groups. But this morning, as we continue on our series in John's Gospel, we're going to see that even though the doors of the church are closed, God is still working. Jesus is very much still at work today. And he's doing some of the same things which he's always done. He's still working to give life, and he's still judging, and he's still doing all of this by his word. You see, we might not be able to meet face to face. We might feel as if the world has gone crazy and that life is on hold. But God is still busy. Jesus is still hard at the Father's work. And we're going to hear this morning all about the work that Jesus is doing today, right here in Bury St. Edmunds and in the villages around us and all over our country. Because Jesus is very much working today. Well, firstly then this morning, we're going to hear Jesus' outrageous claim. We're going to hear Jesus' outrageous claim. And this is in verses 16 to 20 of chapter 5. Well, if you remember last week, we saw Jesus upsetting the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem. He made them really, really mad. And he'd done it all by healing a paralyzed man on the wrong day of the week and telling him to get up, pick up his mat, and go home. A man who had been paralyzed for 38 years had been miraculously cured by Jesus. And thanks to Jesus' incredible love, his incredible compassion, and not least his incredible power, Jesus had spoken and the man was healed in an instant. But the problem for the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem was that Jesus had told him to do some work. Jesus had told him to carry his mat home. And in their eyes, that meant that Jesus was breaking the Sabbath. He was telling someone else to break the law, to do something that they thought was sinful by working on the day of the week when they were supposed to rest. But the religious leaders were being utterly ridiculous, because nowhere in the Bible does God forbid people from carrying a mat on the Sabbath. Nowhere in the Bible did God forbid people to heal and to show mercy and love on the day of rest. The Sabbath was supposed to be God's special day, God's special day for his special people, a day to recharge and to worship the Lord. It was the perfect day for a miraculous healing. But so angry had Jesus made the religious leaders, but our passage begins this morning in verse 16 by simply saying this: because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began not to congratulate him, not to follow him, not to be in awe of him, but to persecute him. They decided that it was better that a paralyzed man should remain paralyzed than for Jesus to let the man pick up his mat and walk home. And for that, they decided to persecute Jesus. They decided that it was better to get rid of Jesus, to drive him away, maybe even to kill him, than to let Jesus be compassionate and to cause people to pick up a mat on the wrong day of the week. But as is so often the case when Jesus confronts the religious leaders, if he's upset them by working on the Sabbath, he is going to upset them even more by what he's going to do next. Because Jesus goes on in verse 17 to say, and he's doing it very carefully and very deliberately, and he says this: my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. And in that very simple sentence, Jesus is being utterly outrageous. Utterly outrageous. Because Jesus is claiming that not only has he healed a paralyzed man on the Sabbath, but he's equal with God. Because God the Father is working every single day to sustain the world that he's made. And Jesus is working even on that day of rest because he's equal with God. Because Jesus claims to be God. That Jesus claims to be, if you like, the Father's colleague, the Father's co-worker in the work of being God. And if the Jews had been angry before, well, they were enraged now. They were red-faced, and there would have been steam pouring out from their ears at this. And they would have been absolutely beside themselves. Because Jesus was a man. Jesus was a human being like them. And he was claiming to be equal with God. He was claiming to be a co-worker with God. He was placing himself on the same level as God the Father. And as John says in verse 18, from that point on, they plotted to kill him. But Jesus isn't finished. He's going to go on to make them even madder. Because he goes on in verses 19 to 20 to explain how the Father has shown him all the work that he does as God. But he permits Jesus the Son to join in that work as a full co-worker with God. Jewish leaders couldn't believe it. It was the most outrageous, blasphemous claim that they could possibly imagine. But it's only outrageous if it's not true. It's only outrageous if it's not true. And throughout John's gospel, John is at pains to show us that Jesus really is the Son of God. Because John wants us to believe in him. And that by believing in Jesus, we might have eternal life for ourselves. And so through John's gospel, John presents us with seven signs, seven wonderful miracles which Jesus does, which help us to see that Jesus is not just a man. He's not just the Messiah. He's not just a prophet, as wonderful as those things would be. But Jesus is God, because only God can do the sort of wonderful things that Jesus does. And Jesus claims to be God in his words and in his actions. Jesus is claiming here. He's claiming to the Jewish leaders, he's claiming it as he heals the paralyzed man, that he is God. That he is the eternal God-man, that he is both fully human, yet fully God. And that he is a full colleague, a full co-worker with God, because he is God the Son, and so he is equal with God the Father. It's harder to underestimate a more outrageous claim that those Jewish leaders could possibly have heard. It is one of the most outrageous things that Jesus could ever have claimed about himself. Outrageous, unless it's true. So how do we see Jesus working today? How do we see Jesus working today? Well, we're going to see, secondly this morning, that Jesus is working today to give life. Jesus is working today to give life. And this is in verse 21, as Jesus says to us. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Just notice that last part of that verse. The last part of that verse is really key. Even so, the Son, so even so, Jesus, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. You see, in fact, Jesus has been working to give life since the very beginning, since the beginning of the universe, in fact. Since page 1, chapter 1, verse 1 of our Bibles, when we open them right in the Old Testament at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and we hear God speak, and the world comes into being. Jesus was working then to create life, to create physical life. And John, when he starts his gospel, this gospel which we're reading this morning, one of the four accounts of Jesus' life and death and resurrection, John starts it at the beginning of time by telling us that the very first words that are spoken in the Bible, the very first words which are spoken in creation, for they're the words of Jesus. Because Jesus is the Word of God. And so everything that lives, everything that has been created, everything that is that grows, everything, even you, owe your life to Jesus. And as Jesus has just said to the Jewish leaders, as God is working, so too he is working. Because the work of giving life, it carries on today. So whenever a couple find out that they're expecting a baby, that's because Jesus has been working to give life. Whenever a child plants a sunflower seed and that tiny seed begins to burst up from a pot and grow into a gigantic flower, that's because Jesus has been giving life. You see, everything that breathes, everything that grows, everything that is alive is all because of Jesus. But that's not the only life that Jesus gives. He doesn't just give physical life. But Jesus also gives eternal life to those who believe in him. In John chapter 3, Jesus talks about how it is necessary for us to be born again a second time, for people to be spiritually born. You see, you might physically die, but if you believe in Jesus, you're given eternal life, and you will live forever and ever and ever. Because Jesus has promised that one day, very soon, we don't know when that day will be, he's going to return to this world. And one of the things he does when he returns to this world is he's going to remake it. He's going to remake everything. Because the world has gone wrong. Sin has entered into it. Evil has come into this world and has corrupted it. So there's death and pain and sin. But Jesus has promised that this new world which he makes, which he offers all of us who come to him for eternal life, will be a world of no more pain or sin or suffering. God himself will live there. Jesus will be there, and you'll be able to see him for yourself. And everyone who believes in Jesus, everyone who believes that Jesus has died and risen again from the dead for them, is born again. They receive eternal life from Jesus. And Jesus will have them live with them, with him, forever and ever. The eternal life starts now, but it goes on through death. And it goes on into that new world that the Lord Jesus Christ will make. A new physical world like this one, but so, so, so much better than the one we enjoy today. It's Jesus' job to give life. He does it today as he creates physical life, and he's doing it still as he creates eternal life when we believe in him. Jesus is working today. But that's not the only way we're going to see Jesus working today, because we're going to go on to see in verses 22 to 23, Jesus is working today to judge. Jesus is working today to judge. Jesus says that the Father has entrusted all judgment to the Son. And that's an astonishing claim. Jesus has already shocked the Jewish religious leaders by claiming to be God. But he's going even further here. Because now Jesus is claiming that he is able to do something unique instead of the Father. He is claiming that he is working in a way very differently to God the Father, but he's doing it all with his own authority as God. Both God the Father and Jesus are involved in the work of giving life to the world. They work together to give physical life and to give eternal life, but it's only Jesus who judges. God the Father, according to Jesus, has decided that it's his Son, that is Jesus, who should have the responsibility and privilege of judging, the whole world. And I think the reason that the Father gives Jesus this job of judging is because Jesus became a human. He became a person like us. I suppose it's a bit like in our courts. Whenever someone is accused of a serious crime, they're put on trial, and usually their fate is decided by a jury, of 12 ordinary people like them, who decide whether they're innocent or guilty. 12 people who can sympathise with you, 12 people who can understand you, 12 people who are like you and can weigh up in their minds the evidence against you and decide whether or not you are guilty or innocent. And because Jesus has become a human, because he's become a person like us, he knows so much more about us. He knows what it's like to live in this world. He knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what it's like to suffer. And he's therefore the perfect person to judge us, to say whether we're guilty or innocent, because he is our peer. He is like us, but he has never sinned. He has only ever been good and loving and compassionate. You see, the Father, God the Father, can never be our peer. He can, because he's only ever been a spirit. He's only ever been God. But Jesus can judge us, and he can judge us fairly, and he can judge us the best, because Jesus is the Creator God who has made everything and sustains everything. And yet at the same time, he's the God who became human, who became one of us. And so Jesus is given the job to judge. And he is working today to judge. Finally then this morning, how do we see Jesus working today? Well, Jesus works by his words. Jesus works by his words. And this is verses 24 to 30 of our passage. And this is one of the primary ways in which we see Jesus working today. We can see him giving life. We can see him making judgments. And he does it all through his word. After all, that's how Jesus gives life. In Genesis chapter 1, he speaks and the world comes into being. And when we believe his words, we gain eternal life. That's how Jesus judges. He speaks and we either believe his words or we refuse to believe them and obey them, and they judge us. And Jesus is still working today by his word. You see, we might be in lockdown, life might be on hold, the schools might be shut, and the church building is empty. But we can still hear Jesus' word. And because we can hear Jesus' words, we can know that Jesus is still working today. See, Jesus gives life by his word, and he judges by his word. You see, the words that we have here in our Bibles, the words of Jesus, they're not just the words which he's recorded as saying in the Bible. You might have one of those wonderful red letter Bibles where the translators have very helpfully put all of Jesus' words into red and all the other words in the Bible are black. But there's no distinction, truly, when it comes to the Bible, because all of the words in the Bible have been inspired by Jesus. As if it's the Bible in all of its fullness that Jesus is using to do his work today. It's the Bible in all of its fullness where we hear Jesus speak to us. He is the Word of God. And so whenever the Bible is heard, Jesus is working by his word in it to either judge us when we refuse to believe it, or to give us eternal life when we hear Jesus talking to us through the words of the Bible and we believe his words. Verse 24 shows us that when we hear Jesus' words and we believe that God the Father sent Jesus, then we gain eternal life. No longer are we judged by Jesus for the wrong that we have done. No, hearing Jesus' words and believing them gives eternal life. We go from being spiritually dead to being spiritually alive. We're born again. But if this morning we hear Jesus' words and we don't believe them, then Jesus' words will judge us. Verses 28 to 30 tell us about a final day that is coming, when Jesus returns and everyone who has ever lived will have to give an account to Jesus for how they've lived, for all the good that they've done and also all of the wrong. And if we've heard Jesus' words and believed, then we can be sure that we will have eternal life on that day. But if we hear Jesus' words this morning, If you hear Jesus' words this morning and you don't believe them, then Jesus' next words will be to judge you. Because Jesus will judge everyone for their sin who in this life doesn't believe him, doesn't believe his words. You will be judged for how you respond to Jesus' words today, to these very words that you're reading this morning. So friend, if this morning you know that you've never responded by believing Jesus' words, if this morning you know in your heart of hearts that you're not a Christian because you've never truly believed Jesus' words, you never truly obeyed them, let me urge you to take verse 24 very seriously. Because Jesus has promised that if you hear his words, if you believe that God the Father sent him into the world to die for the wrong that you have done, then you can have eternal life. You can have eternal life today. Friend, and if this is you, let me urge you to respond to Jesus' words, because these are the words of life. And if you ignore them, then they will also be the words that Jesus uses to judge you. The world feels like it's gone a bit mad. But God is still working. Jesus is still working today. God is still working today in Bury St. Edmunds and the villages all around us and all over the world. And God is doing it every single day through his word. You see, every time the Bible is opened and read, Jesus is at work. Every sermon we hear, every conversation we have with a friend about what God has said, Jesus is using to give life and to judge. Right here in the Bible. These are Jesus' words. These are the words that Jesus is going to use to give life and to judge today. You see, what our world needs most in this time of global pandemic is to hear Jesus' words and believe them. And funnily enough, that's what the world most needs when there isn't a pandemic either. And I think today that we need Jesus' words more than ever, don't we? Because it's through Jesus' words that we find the only sure hope for our world. It's through Jesus' words that we can tell people that there is a day coming when Jesus will remake the world and he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. It's through Jesus' words that we can tell the world that God made them and loves them and wants them to be in relationship with him. And we can give people hope for tomorrow and the next day and the day after that, on and on and on into eternity. We live in an unprecedented time. Feels as if the word unprecedented is used too much at the moment, but really, is it? Everything is up in the air. But the world, more than ever, needs to hear Jesus' words of hope. It needs more than ever to hear Jesus' words of life and hope. So as a church family, let's try to make the most of this opportunity. Because we want to see God working. We want to see Jesus doing the work that the Father has given him. And we want to make sure that God's word is heard. And here are perhaps just two practical ways in which we can do that this week. The first is really simple, really practical. We can share these services. When we watch these Sunday services online, we can share them with our friends and our family using things like Facebook or email. We can invite people to join us to come to church online. They might not want to normally come on a Sunday morning to the building. That might be too soon for them. But we can invite them to join us. and to see what church is all about, to hear the good news with us. It's never been an easier time to invite someone to join us. Or we can pray for an opportunity, perhaps, to give a loved one of these leaflets about the hope that we have during the current crisis. It's a really helpful leaflet that's been written by an evangelist called Roger Carswell, whose job is to explain the good news of Jesus to people. And it tells us why Christians have hope in these strange times. And if you go to our website, you'll find a link where you can read the leaflet for yourself and share that. Or maybe get in touch with me, and I'd love to provide you with some of these so that you can share them with your loved ones. I'm sure we can think of a million and one other small ways in which we can share God's word. Not just as individuals, but as a whole church family. Because God is still working. His word is still being heard. Our church building might be closed for now, but Jesus is still working to grow his church. He's still working to give life and to judge. And we can see him work powerfully today, even in the midst of a lockdown, as we make his word known. So let's make his word known. Let's let Jesus work powerfully. And let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are busy working. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is working today to give life and to judge. Father, we pray that we might all hear Jesus' words and experience that life. And Father, you would help us to share the good news of Jesus, to share your word, that many more people might hear and believe and come to experience that eternal life for themselves. Help us, Father, to be a people who are filled with good news, sharing the greatest news this world has ever known, the only sure and certain hope. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.